This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We've got a nuclear deal with Iran and the potential of big change for the global oil market. From APM in Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill in for David Brancaccio. After years of negotiations, Iran and six major world powers have reached a deal over the country's nuclear program. The agreement aims to curb Iran's production of nuclear weapons, and in exchange, the U.S., United Nations, and European Union will lift sanctions. The deal still has to make its way through Congress, but if it goes through, Iran will start ramping up its oil exports. By some estimates, the country could increase exports by 500,000 barrels a day when the sanctions are lifted. Kate Durian is senior editor from Middle East Economic Survey. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is the potential impact of the Iran deal on the global oil market?
I think we've already seen the market react to the initial announcement that they do have a deal. In terms of going beyond this initial period where they can ramp up and restart fields that have been shut down, there's going to be a need for foreign investment. So the expectation that Iran is going to come back to pre-crisis, pre-sanctions levels immediately or within the next few months is, I think, a bit far-fetched.
Oil prices are still relatively low. Does Iran's return to the market exacerbate an oversupply issue?
Yes, it does, except if you look at the latest analyses by OPEC and by the IEA, everybody expects that demand is going to pick up in the second half. And don't forget that we still have outages from several countries, producing countries. Libya is still way down. Yemen is hardly producing anything. Syria is not producing anything. Iraq has issues with Kurdistan, so their export levels may not be able to be sustained. So there's a lot of geopolitical issues that are probably going to keep prices from falling too dramatically.
Kate Durian from Middle East Economic Survey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now, let's do the numbers. The deal in Iran has pushed crude oil prices lower this morning. They're down almost 2%. European markets have given up some of their gains from yesterday, eyeing next developments in Greece. The FTSE in London is off 0.4%. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all relatively flat this morning after 1+ percentage point gains yesterday. This is a big work week for corporate earnings, in particular bank earnings, reporting their second quarter performances. We get J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo today, followed by Bank of America tomorrow and Goldman Sachs and Citigroup on Thursday. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports on their outlook.
Banks have been through plenty of interesting times lately. Financial crisis, massive bailouts and lawsuits. Now reams of new regulation restrict how much risk banks can take, keeping their earnings potential well in check, says Eric Oja at S&P Capital IQ.
It's like it had a neutering effect on a wild animal. They certainly will not be capable of explosive growth. They will be much safer, much slower growing.
Oja predicts the big banks will increase profits by around 2% from a year ago after accounting for several huge legal settlements. Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics says at least the new regulations have shored up banks' balance sheets.
The banks are sound. They have a lot more capital. They're holding a lot more liquidity.
The challenge for banks now, say analysts, is to increase profits in an environment with lots of overseas volatility and with U.S. borrowers still paying rock-bottom interest rates. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Markets rejoiced Monday on news of the tentative agreement between Greece and European leaders. But not everyone's on board with the strict austerity measures the deal requires, including economist James Galbraith. He's a professor at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at UT Austin and has worked with former Greek finance minister Yanis Varoufakis. Professor Galbraith is back from Greece and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you make of the deal that's been struck?
The Greeks were compelled, under the threat that their banking system would be closed down permanently and their economy destroyed, to accept draconian terms, very similar, essentially identical to those that they were under before the election of the present government, and that have over the course of the last 5 years worked to destroy the Greek economy.
If this framework does go through, what will it mean for the country of Greece?
Oh, it will surely mean a continuing economic decline. They have stipulated, for example, that as soon as the primary surplus goes off course, as soon as the tax revenues falter because of declining economic conditions, that there will be automatic cuts in public spending, which are overwhelmingly these days what's left of Greek public sector pensioners. So pensioners will increasingly go hungry as the program gets implemented.
What's it like in Greece right now for Greeks who are living there trying to function in this economy?
The spirit in the streets in Athens up until the last few days has been very strong. What will happen now, I think, is quite different, because what you're basically seeing the government being turned back over to the foreigners who were running it up until January. So Greece is in the position of being a humiliated debt colony once again. That will have a very bad effect on the public mood. I think what happened yesterday in Europe will, in the long run, destroy the European Union. It's clear now what happens if you try to assert any form of alternative view or national independence, and that will just energize particularly the extreme right. And I don't think that the European Union will survive indefinitely or even all that long on this basis.
James Galbraith is a professor at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs at UT Austin. Thanks so much.
Well, my pleasure.
We've got a whole lot of other perspectives from Greece on our website, marketplace.org. And our afternoon show will broadcast again from Athens today. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.